welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Basement Binge, an episode that has been in the tunnel, in the process for over a year now. As is expected, Animation Hall of Fave cannot happen without being interrupted. This is Animation Hall of Fave 3. Now, we're going to get into the episode with How to Train Your Dragon. I just have to tell you guys something because I can't help but laugh at it. Every year, I set out to do Animation Hall of Fave, and it is interrupted, and the plans fall apart because of some external source in my life that I can't control, including this year getting sick. And before this, Animation Hall of Fave is supposed to become at the beginning of the year, in January and February, and maybe a little bit into March. I didn't really start till March because I was so busy with school at the beginning of the year. So it was delayed. That's fine. I thought that maybe the delay was all I would have to deal with this year. But right as I was finally getting Animation Hall of Fave back up and running, I had a wonderful weekend about a week and a half ago where on a Saturday, my wife and I, we have two cars. We're lucky enough for that. But one of them is this Camry that we love. It's got close to 350,000 miles. It's taken good care of us. 2001 Camry. It was parked in front of somebody's house, a friend of ours, and someone rear-ended it, pushed it up onto the curb about 20 feet in between two trees, smashed over some rocks. It was bad. The car was totaled. That was devastating. While it is the other driver's fault and they stuck around so we can get an insurance claim, it's a 2001 Camry with 300,000 miles on it. We're not going to get a lot back. And we are not in a position to afford a new car. So that was really, really stressful. My parents felt bad for us, so they invited us over for Sunday dinner. We drove there in our other car, still with a little bit of stress of how we were both going to get to work, now down to one car, and what we were going to do, but we were just pushing through. And we're at dinner. My dad had to leave for a meeting, and so he backed out of the driveway right into our other car within less than 24 hours. So that was how the week started. It was quite stressful. Things have been resolved. I'm all right. We got a rental car now from our car that was totaled. We were able to find and purchase a really nice car that it ended up working for the good. So things have worked out, but that's why I have been absent, because all the time that I would have been able to invest in editing and recording episodes was invested into dealing with car insurance and getting a rental car and applying for an auto loan and purchasing a car and registration and all the things that goes about dealing with that. So it has been a ride. I guess if I want my life to be calm, I shouldn't do Animation Hall of Fave, but I love animation, so I'm going to truck through it. Anyway, that is a long enough introduction. I just thought that was funny. I mean, it wasn't in the moment, but I can look back now and laugh, especially that it interrupted Animation Hall of Fave. So I guess that's just the way things go. Now, that story is fitting for this episode you're about to hear. This episode, How to Train Your Dragon, was recorded over a year ago in the beginning of the year of 2022 with Matt and Rob, originally to be released during that Animation Hall of Fave a year ago. That's when I ended up quitting my job. I ended up going back to school, completely made a change in my life, and that brought a screeching halt to Animation Hall of Fave. So while we recorded the episodes and reviewed them, and they were supposed to go in conjunction with Kung Fu Panda, I wasn't able to edit and record them. So they are finally here. Thank you, Matt and Rob, for your patience. I'm excited for you to hear our review of How to Train Your Dragon 1, 2, and 3 from a year ago. And then we'll get back to the recent reviews happening with some exciting things like WALL-E, another movie that Matt recommended from Matt Goes to Movie 9, some Pixar's with The Incredibles, and then I'm really excited for the new Super Mario movie coming out, and Suzumi, in addition to some other great movies we're going to be reviewing. So that's Animation Hall Free. That's Animation Hall of Fave Volume 3. This has been a long enough introduction. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for enduring with me. Let's hope that there aren't any more interruptions for Animation Hall of Fave Volume 3, and we'll keep our fingers crossed until Volume 4 comes around. Anyway, that's enough for me. On to past Harrison, on to the episode.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Basement Binge. Welcome to another episode of Animation Hall of Fave Volume 2, continuing with the How to Train Your Dragon series trilogy, also continuing with Matt and Rob joining me here. Thank you to both of you for coming again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a great time with the first one. I'm looking forward to the second.
Yes, myself as well. So let's just get right started into it. Into Two Cents, which is the first segment here of the Basement Binge, which is completely spoiler-free. Our knee-jerk reaction to the film, what we think about it. And I don't remember who started the last time, even though it was only 2 days ago. Matt, you can go first, and then I'll go second.
All right. So, spoiler-free reaction to this movie is I love it. And what I love about this movie that I think a lot of these movies fall into when they're a trilogy or there's four of them or however far you get into the series. This movie does not backtrack. I feel like a lot of animation movies run into that problem where everything that happened in the first one, they end up in the right spot. There was character development. They realize the error of their ways or whatever the case may be. And then for the sake of making the second movie or for the sake of having comedy in it, they fall right back into the same thing that happened. And it's like, where did everything go that you learned in the first movie? I love that this movie does not feel like that. It feels like across the whole, this movie grows in a naturally progressing way and the characters, you know, they learn from what has happened and they're not making most of the same mistakes that I feel like these movies get into. That's what I appreciate most about this movie is the actual development and the continuation of growth in the characters that you've, you know, started to really form an attachment to.
Yeah, well said. I'll just immediately follow you up, Matt, because I agree with you. It takes everything from the original that was really good, right? Great characters, really, really fun dragons. In the last episode, we talked a lot about how good the dragons are as like characters and a part of the film. They continue with all of that. The characters are just as fun, but they're, like you said, Matt, nothing is like reset. In fact, the challenges emotionally or physically, whatever they are a continual progression. They're new challenges, not necessarily that it's like bigger or like that annoying, like, oh, we got to go bigger type of thing. I mean, it is, but that's not necessarily the reason. It feels like just a very progressive challenge. As you go throughout life, challenges increasingly grow, and this is very, very real. On top of that, the animation is even better. I'm impressed to see how much, 4 years can do?
Yep.
Seriously, this animation is incredible. It's just as funny. The music is just as good, if not better. And again, like we talked about in the last episode, there's incredibly great themes and rich emotional depth to it. And sequels are difficult. And as far as sequels goes, this is a really fantastic one because all of the things that were a home run about the first are definitely here, if not a little bit better. And it was just as fun. Really, really engaging. So that leaves you, Rob.
Yeah. So some of the things that I think work really, really well about this are some of the reasons why when we get comic book movies that decide to skip the origin story and go right to the action are, you know, I like some of those same things for the same reasons. these characters are already developed. We don't have to spend the entire first movie getting Hiccup and Toothless to become best friends. They're already best friends, and not just best friends, but partners. And you truly believe that these two would die for one another. 100% you believe that throughout this entire film, that they completely rely on one another. They are the yin to each other's yang, and that they don't spend any time apart and don't have any reason to want to spend time apart. And I think that's really the things that work well about this are the things that you can only really do in a sequel. There's certain things that there's certain relationships that are progressed from the first film. That, you know, Harrison, we've kind of talked about this before, but the way that you do your episodes where you're binging whole series, sometimes when you watch these movies in real time, when they only come out once every 4 years, like with this series, you sometimes forget some of the things that had just happened. But when you binge them start to finish, you know, like we had kind of done with Pirates of the Caribbean last summer, you know, you get a different appreciation for where those relationships truly are, where they left off and where they continued to. And I think that's, you know, between Hiccup and Astrid, between Hiccup and Toothless for sure, and kind of the rest of that crew. I really like some of those things. I do think I want to disagree a little bit with what Matt said. I do think there are some lessons that are still not learned from the first film, particularly between Stoic and Hiccup. I still think there's a little bit of a case of the adults not listening to the kids, or people just not communicating at all, or just spitting out what it is they have to say, that kind of prolong some of the conflict in certain areas. But as far as just having an absolute blast watching a movie, if you haven't seen this one and you're looking to try to, if you're listening to these spoiler-free 2-minute breakdowns, yes, definitely. This one's on Netflix right now. Go stream it. It's worth it.
Yeah, well said. So obviously, all of us really, really enjoyed the film. So yeah, this next segment is going to be kind of hard, which is Rummage for the Rotten, which is a segment that I just do when I have guests on the show where we guess who will be the Rotten. The Rotten is the individual who likes it the least, gives it the lowest rating, even if that lowest rating is 5 out of 5. At the end of the show, we'll all rate it out of 5 reels to carry it over from Matt's show. And then we will know who's the Rotten. But right now, we're going to guess. We're going to take turns guessing who is the Rotten. Matt, I'll let you go first because you're pretty strong on your guess so far.
Okay. So I do think, just for whatever reason, it will be Rob. More so based on now the fact that, well, this sounds egotistical. He disagrees with me. but not in that way, but just because I think maybe we have a little bit of a different opinion on how this movie flows, I think. And I think that might knock maybe a few smidgens off his score.
Fair enough. All right. One vote for Rob. Rob, since you were voted for, you can go next.
So I disagreed with Matt a little bit on something earlier. I will not disagree with Matt now. The Rotten will be me.
Okay, well, 3 for 3. I also was going to guess that it would be Rob. So, you know, last episode was too much. We got to get back to Rob ruins everything. So back to formula.
Yeah. You picked a great movie. The first one is so good. There's so few things that, if you're just truly analyzing it for what it is and not through the lens of the fact that it is a children's movie, there's almost nothing to pick apart.
Yeah, it was a great episode. So, all right. Well, we were going to get into the rest of the episode here, get into spoilers, binge points, our rating, all that thing. But before that, I wanted to give Matt and Rob both a chance to talk about anything they'd like, really. But mainly Matt goes to the movies. So Matt, the floor is yours, because I appreciate you both of you being here so much.
It's always a blast. We mentioned it last episode. It's been a little bit of a tick here since we were all together. Rob and I have certainly done some episodes, but it's been quite the spell since the three of us have been, you know, able to do something, even so to the point where we've, you know, kind of skipped over what was our normal tradition for Marvel series, not being able to cover Hawkeye. So to be able to do these three together, you know, eventually How to Train Your Dragon 3, and then, you know, coming up on Matt Goes to the Movies, we're going to be doing our top 100 video game episodes. It's really cool to kind of be back into the swing of things, so to speak, with all three of us here. So, Rob, I'll let you, you know, talk about Matt Goes to the Movies a little bit here before we move on in the Basement Binge segments, because you've been a huge part of that show as well. And you got your own little thing that I think there's another episode coming up soon.
Yeah. So Matt just uploaded a couple of solo episodes on Comic Book Movie Month, as he calls it, but it's call it what it really is. It's Bad Comic Book Movie Month. I had the distinct pleasure of joining for Daredevil, and we also covered the new Matrix Resurrections and Batman and Robin, which is one of those so bad it's good kind of things. It was a lot of fun to do. There's still a few more out there for you to listen to, and then we also have an upcoming episode in the extended podcast universe, as we call it, which is a little spinoff show that that I host with my younger brother Eric, and he puts together a curated playlist of every episode that we cover, which those are a lot of fun too. Which really, if you're listening to something on your phone, you should be listening to either The Basement Binge or Matt Goes to the Movies. But sometimes you just want music. Sometimes when you're on the treadmill, that's probably what you want, if that's the sort of thing that you rock out to. So his playlists that he puts together are really a blast. They're a lot of fun to listen to, and he does a great job putting them together. So I recommend those as well.
Yeah, they are sweet. I agree with that. So thank you again, both of you, for being here. This has been a blast. Last episode was fun. I'm excited for this one. So let's continue on in the segments here. But before that, I have to mention that this is Animation Hall of Fame 2, if you've been listening since the beginning of the year. February is the end of it. The end of February will be the end of Animation Hall of Fame 2. So there's a giveaway happening right now for a free movie and a movie gift card. A first place winner will get their choice of any of the movies I have reviewed or will review during this animation season, digital or physical copy. Second place winner will get a $10 movie gift card to a movie theater or streaming service of their choice. So to do that, you simply just have to leave a review on podchaser.com. Go to podchaser.com/thebasementbinge, leave a review. You can leave a review on this individual episode. So even if you've left reviews before, there's still a chance for you to leave more reviews. Every review you leave gives you another entry into the giveaway. So that will be linked below. Again, it's just podchaser.com/thebasementbinge. Reviews help out the show a ton, help other people find it. Really, it helps out the show a lot. Additionally, you can win a movie. On to the next segment. Pick your poison. This is the rating scale here at the Basement Binge, which is kind of rigged towards my particular taste of enjoying movies, as we talked about last time. So instead of giving it five reels, which we're going to do later, the pick your poison is all about the bingeability of the film, according to my personal grading of it. So there's four options: to never watch it again, which is self-explanatory. Above that is to stream it, meaning it's on a service you're already paying for, and you're kind of just browsing, and you'd click on it. Above that is rent it digitally or physically in the right circumstances. You'd be willing to fork over $3 or $4, whatever it is. And the top of the list, you probably saw it coming, is to buy it, own it, watch it as many times as you want. Full price doesn't matter. I'll go first because mine's really simple. This is easily a buy, like I talked about last episode, as part of the trilogy. This wouldn't necessarily be a movie that would be on the top of my list, like, oh, I want to get this as soon as possible. But it would be one of those movies that's just kind of like in your forever wish list, where it's like, hey, if this is ever on a good deal, I would get it. And I did. That's exactly what happened. And that's what I did. And so reality meets rating here. It's a buy. Just because I really, really do enjoy these films. I have really enjoyed them for this episode. I'm going to enjoy them again. Additionally, I love bonus features, particularly for animated films. So that's another reason that always incentivizes me to buy them. So yeah. Again, very, what's the word I'm searching for? My mind just went blank. Leaning very much towards my hobby of collecting movies. So, Rob, we'll let you go next to pick your poison.
So, like I had stated on the last episode, on the first film for How to Train Your Dragon, I don't typically own a lot of movies. It's not something that I just don't have the space for it in a lot of cases. So for me to own something really means something a little bit different. The two of you guys both love to collect movies, and that's awesome. You know, I wish I had just racks and racks and racks that I could put, you know, books that to make me look smarter than I am,
or DVDs. In most cases, it's going to be like, you know, mostly Xbox and PlayStation games. Like that's what's mostly on my rack. And I don't rewatch a lot of things that I've already seen. I'm so far behind on so many things I haven't seen that I don't really rewatch a lot of stuff that I've already seen, unless it's for the purposes of being on the Basement Binge or being on Matt Goes to the Movies. So that's why I love your rating scale, because it's something different for every person. For me, I enjoy this series so much. I really enjoy the progression of these characters. I love being able to see that from start to finish. They do go on a journey. It's not like a lot of other animation where, you know, particularly like, you know, Kung Fu Panda is a great example. They do go on a journey, but they're animals. So you don't really see the age. You don't really see the physical changes in them the same way you do with humans. And I really enjoy seeing him go from a teenager to a young man to in the third film when he is, you know, he's the chieftain. And he's an adult. He's a full grown man. I really enjoy that, and being able to have access to that. I actually own this movie, but if I didn't already own this movie, because I think my aunt got it for my kids for Christmas one year, this would be a rent. I would definitely plunk down a few bucks, you know, in the right circumstances, if it was something the kids wanted to watch. And we were kind of going start to finish on them. I have no problem throwing down a couple bucks to be able to watch this movie.
So Matt, the leaves you.
All right. So, you know, last episode, How to Train Your Dragon, I said it was a buy. I was able to pick it up the trilogy pack at Best Buy for $19.99. And I hope I explain this in the right way, but I do feel like this movie is a buy, particularly in the vein of now with streaming services and the way everything is now. But back when it was, you know, before streaming service boomed and it's, you know, everywhere now, and does anybody have cable anymore? Is that even a thing? Or is it just you subscribe to five different streaming services to get all of your content? This is one of those movies that I would buy because I'd want to support the studio to get a, you know, to get a sequel, and have it hit where they would want to. So for me, it's a buy, and I, you know, just as times are changing, you know, it's sometimes less and less likely that people are going to buy something, because chances are, you know, it's probably on one of the streaming services that you are subscribed to. I'm subscribed to five myself. So I do think, though, that there is a reason to purchase this movie, even still in today's medium.
Wow. You know, I've been doing Pick Your Poison ever since the Basement Binge started 2.5 years ago coming up on. And I have never, like, thought of it that way, which is dumb because I literally buy movies to support studios. Like, that is genuinely a train of thought that I have in my real life, but for whatever reason that never came into the Basement Binge before. Man, you guys are like training me on my own segment. But I agree with that. That's a great rating. That is definitely a reason that I would buy this, is just to reward the studio for making good movies and to show them what they can continue to do, right? So, wow, I'm getting learned over here. So let's move on to the next segment, which is Live Up, where we talk about our expectations going into the film, particularly if we've never seen it before, then was it able to live up? If we have seen it before, and with this film that is now 10 years old, not quite 10, 8 years old, what is kind of the legacy that is left behind? Maybe the trilogy, we talked a lot about this last time, but just does it live up to any expectations that we had about it at all? And let's have Rob go first with this.
So I hadn't seen this in a while, and I was very excited to return to it because I had such a good time watching the first film. I've got great memories of the things that kind of happened in the second film, the progression of the characters into the third film. My recent viewing did not live up to my expectations. They're
rotten.
Yeah. So right around the time, and we're in spoiler territory now, right around the time where Hiccup's mom shows up is kind of where things fall apart for me. It's the whole scene is just kind of weird. I kind of had forgotten that. And just so many things just don't make sense. I'm going to go ahead and just ruin something for a minute here. So let me get this straight. In the middle of a dragon attack on the village, one of the dragons just decides to stop making morsels out of all of the tasty humans running around and play Goo Goo Gaga with a baby because reasons. I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. And I hate when movies introduce like a scar or a tattoo or some kind of distinguishing characteristic in a sequel that was never talked about or present in the first, and they just kind of invented for the second. I hate it. They did this in the second Mummy movie. I hate it. It bothers me.
Do not talk about Rick O'Connell.
I love me the Mummy series, by the way. I do. I love that series. It's so much fun. And just the whole decision by Hiccup's mom to just peace out. It's hard for me. I acknowledge there are terrible, awful parents out there, but I'm fortunate that I don't have any of them in my life. And I'm just thinking about, like, if my wife got carried off by a dragon, for the decision for her to just kind of stay there and be like, nah, I'm good here. As opposed to trying to get back to her family, like my wife would crawl hand over fist over miles of broken glass to get back to her kids. Like my mom, probably about the same. Like my mother-in-law, about the same. My sister-in-law, you know, my brother's wife, like, yeah, to get back to my niece, yeah, like swim through acid to get back. And she was just like, nah, I'm sad. They don't like dragons. I think dragons are cool. I'm not gonna go back. I'm gonna abandon them. Like, I just, it took me completely out of the movie. Again, I acknowledge there are some terrible parents out there. And if you're listening to this and you have a bad relationship with your mom or a bad relationship with your dad, I genuinely feel bad for you. My heart aches for you because that was, fortunately for me, that's not my experience. And I acknowledge that there are people out there like that. But it just didn't make any sense to me. And I feel like the villain's goal is really not clearly defined to me. He wants to kill dragons. He wants to control dragons. He wants to use them for weapons. Like, I'm never really sure where he stands with them. So there's just some things that I'd kind of forgotten just don't really make a lot of sense and don't really work for me. While I also acknowledge that there's things that I love that happen in the sequel that are continuations of great relationships that I love. Like I said, Hiccup and Toothless together, it's one of the best like bromances in cinema. It's fantastic. And one of those characters doesn't even talk. It's great. It's up there with R2-D2 and C-3PO. Like, it's it's awesome. And it's a shame that, like I said, about two-thirds of the way into this movie, things really start to fall apart. And then dragons have spike buttons. Like, she just taps a button on the back of Toothless and all of a sudden, boom, new spikes. That's lame. Like, there's little things here and there about two-thirds of the way into this movie that are inexcusable to me. Like, and it just took me right out of it. And it really, like, there's some great battles at the end of this. And I was already like, I don't care anymore.
Interesting. Okay. Matt, I'll let you go second because I think that you haven't said a single thing yet, but I think that I'm going to end up between the two of you. Like, I feel like you guys are going to be on either end of the spectrum. And I already kind of have prepared what I'm going to say. So I'm curious. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So I do think for me, this movie did live up. I think there's, you know, again, a natural progression here. And not to get too personal, but as someone who is still waiting for his dad to come back with that gallon of milk, I do think there is a way, like, I do think there are some parents there, like, all kidding aside, with the mom, I think there are some parents that they love their kids. But there's just a really different way like they don't know how to show it. I don't think they're inherently bad. So maybe just because of my own personal experience, I can maybe see, you know, where this happens and why this mom is gone. Maybe that sounds weird, or, you know, I don't want to get too personal about it. But I do, this movie lives up. I think the animation improved. I think the story improved. I do like the fact that, Rob, you mentioned it, because it's humans, you can see the growth in the character. I mean, think about how many times, you know, in Shrek, I mean, look at the, you know, the longest running TV series, you know, The Simpsons. When have those characters ever aged? They've been on the air for
how long? Been in fourth grade for 30 years.
Right. Exactly. and, you know, that was one of the reasons why I kind of, you know, got away from The Simpsons, is because there didn't seem to be any growth in that show. Granted, I still think it's good, and I can, you know, turn it on every now and then. But with this, you know, they follow, okay, it's 5 years later. Now Hiccup is 20. I do like the fact that there's, you know, there's the growth in the animation. You can see that he is older. That all resonates with me. So this does live up for me.
Okay. Well, I was right. I am going to end up right in the middle between the two of you. there were parts of it that 100% lived up, and there were parts of it that did not. The parts of it that did, particularly the animation and visuals and sound of this, particularly the camera movement, like, it is amazing to see how much 4 years of technology can allow these animators to use a camera in new ways. And I love the way that they do that. Like Rob mentioned, some of the battles at the end, like, we almost get like X-Wing style shots of a dragon going in over an army on the ground. Like, that's sweet. Really, really fun. So I love the animation. I love the characters, how they physically grow, but how they mentally grow. Like, I particularly the side characters, I love the relationship that happens, of course, between Hiccup and Astrid, but I also love just the relationship between Fishlegs, Snotlout, and Roughnut. Like, just the two of them trying to be with Roughnut is hilarious to me. I don't know why. I just think, like, it's a very real progression of relationships, and like how friendships change over time. Like, everybody had those friends where you were just like platonic friends, and then suddenly everyone was obsessed with the one. And anyway, so I really like that. I love the mom being introduced. I think that really, really is interesting, and could have been a really interesting character, and some of the time is. But I agree that when she says, oh, I could never go back because they didn't, like, some people never change. Like, it never mentions how she ever tried to change Stoic. Like, I haven't seen this movie in a long time, so I forgot. I thought that she was going to be carried away by a dragon, but then come back and Stoic wouldn't change. But she's just like carried away, and she's like, no. He'll never change. Like, she just kind of makes up her mind before ever trying, which I thought was weird. It kind of took me out of it. The other thing that just didn't live up was that the last film was co-directed by two directors, Dean DeBlois, and I don't remember the other one. He's the director of Lilo and Stitch. I know that. But he's not here because he was working on The Croods. And I think two directors on films like this, particularly that expand with more characters and more dragons, need two directors to kind of balance everything, like just oversee everything. Because sometimes in this film, it feels like I imagine one person in my head running over to like one location. It's like, oh, we got to deal with all the stuff with Astrid and the all of her dragons wherever they're located. Oh, now we got to run over here to Hiccup and his parents, and it feels a little bit disjointed. Like, there's a good pace to the film. It's not that. It's just that like the scenes feel very much separated. I mean, they are physically separated, so there's that part. But it's just, in my head, I just imagined like a director kind of running from one place to another. It probably isn't even related to director. What do I know about directing animation? It's just, yeah, just something that didn't live up as much, as that it wasn't as smooth of a pace. So, yeah, yes, it totally exceeded my expectations in some ways, particularly emotionally. I'm really excited for Fallen in this episode. So, yeah, I mean, right in the middle, which is... and not where I expected to be. So I'm interested what's going to happen in this next segment, which is just for animation season, lame, fave, or fame.
Hello, everybody. You're right. Come on down.
Okay. This, in this supposed Hall of Fame that I made up, in this entry that I've chosen, is it worthy of fame, where it should be recognized and loved by everybody, or appreciated in the history of animation or cinema or whatever you want to call it? Is it worthy of fame? Or is it the exact opposite, where it's lame and not deserving of that entry and total flop? Or kind of in the middle, where it's a fave, where it's one that is maybe just personally loved and you recognize that not everybody's going to love it, but you do. I am going to put this... this is so hard. I'm going to put the... If this were a standalone film, let me put it this way. If this were a standalone film, it would be a fave, just 100%. There's a lot of things that I love about it, but I also recognize it's not perfect. It's not particularly groundbreaking in animation. Like, it's really great animation, but I wouldn't say that there's anything that's like, oh my gosh, I've never seen this anywhere else, or this was really, really new, except for maybe the camera work. But as part of the trilogy, I think the entire trilogy, each one is deserving of an entry as a trilogy. Not just that this one rides the coattails of the first, but that it, as an individual piece of a trilogy, the entire trilogy deserves fame, if that makes sense. Also kind of pulling the idea that Rob brought up last episode, where someone came up to me and was like, hey, I've never seen How to Train Your Dragon 2, and I like the first one. Should I watch the second? I would say yes, without hesitation. So we'll go in the reverse order. Matt, you can go second.
All right. So while I like this movie a lot, I'll preface that. I like this movie a lot. I do think part of me doesn't think it deserves to be fame, because 2014, I don't know how well you guys know this or the listeners, 2014 was really, really big for animated movies. Do you know two other big time movies that came out in 2014 that I will like, that I like better than this one?
I can't think of any, but I'm very curious.
One of the Kung Fu Pandas?
No. Well, no. Big Hero 6.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, that's
the,
good.
The Lego Movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible.
Also, which I really like this, the animated DC movie Justice League War was released. Also, Son of Batman, which I thought was really, really good. And I really enjoyed this movie, and I think it's probably odd, but the Penguins movie came out. And I really enjoyed that. So I think this doesn't deserve to be in the like the fame category, because there were other animated movies that came out that I enjoyed more than this one, even though I do enjoy this movie. I think if we're looking at it as a trilogy, you could group all three together. Well, I think one for me was a one was a surprise. That's why I think everybody should watch it. I did not expect it to be as good and deep as it was. But then when the second one came around, I expected it to be like, I expected it to be good. And even though it was, I still don't think it's as like eye opening as the first one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. Again, learning me on my own segment to think about the other films that were released that year. And, you know, you bring up Big Hero 6 and the Lego Movie, and I feel like, in particularly in regards to, like, animation, I would say, except for maybe hair, what this film does with hair is actually really impressive. I mean, they got all sorts of stuff in their hair, like snow and different shades of hair. Anyway, outside of that, I feel like everything that, like, stood out to me as far as the animation of this film, I could point out moments in the Lego Movie or Big Hero 6 that does it better. Like, particularly with camera work, the Lego Movie, great example of a fantastic camera work in an animated film. So, again, man, you guys are too smart for my own good.
Yeah, those two films are both absolute bangers. I mean, if you've never seen those two, please go watch both of those movies, like, immediately.
So, I'm curious now, Rob, is this a lame favor fame for you?
Yeah. Interesting question. So if you look at the trilogy as a whole, fame. this is start to finish, watching these three films together, absolutely fame. Breaking them down individually, and just kind of analyzing it for what it is. The second one, it's not lame. There's parts of this movie that I specifically sat there watching it on my couch going, well, this is lame. This moment is lame. This decision was lame. The film itself, the characters I'm invested in, particularly every relationship between Hiccup and anybody else, I just love. And maybe not necessarily between him and his mom, because I just don't think it works. But him and just about every other character he interacts with, I really like. And I'm invested in it. I want to see it. I want to see more of him with Toothless. I want to see more of him inventing things, building crazy wingsuits and armor and all the gadgets and the sword that he builds for this and the gas thing that explodes. And like, I just want to see more of it. I want to see more of what Hiccup does. I want to see this character grow into a man. I want to see him grow into an old man. I want to see him when he's Stoic's age. Like, I want to see that. So every entry they give me, I'm here for. So as an individual entry, this is a fave, not quite the fame.
Sorry, I was muted. Thank you. I think that we're all in agreement here that this film definitely is enjoyable. And as a trilogy, this is one, like, film trilogies, not just animated trilogies, film trilogies, this is definitely one that should be remembered. But as like, if we're going to have a Hall of Fame, this is not the one that's going to go up on the pedestal. The first one definitely is. So, well said. Once again.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's move on to the next segment, Binge Points. This is Easter eggs, details, I don't know, behind the scenes things, anything else that you would like to mention that may not be necessarily fit into any other segment. And the one thing that I want to point out is the way that that facial expressions convey character in this so much, particularly with Hiccup and Toothless. There's so many scenes where Hiccup just has kindness in his eyes, like in a moment where someone would be really tense, like when he's taken by his mom for the first time and he like ends up in her secret lair and all those dragons are around him and he like does his flame sword dance thing, which is actually super cool. There's like really strong kindness in his eyes towards the dragons, which I think is really great characterization. Like this clearly is a character who's competent and confident in what he can do in this situation and isn't gonna end up in the loony bin. The other thing with Toothless is, like Rob said, like the relationship between Toothless and Hiccup is phenomenal. And I think that one of the reasons it sells that is consistently throughout the film, throughout action sequences, there's always a little cut to a reaction of Toothless. And he's got the big eyes and a huge smile and his tongue's hanging out. Like they really do a lot to take the time to show an expression that endears you or shows a relationship. And it's just something I noticed throughout the entire film, and I think it works really well. But do either of you have any binge points?
I do think one thing that I was actually like really impressed with this movie in terms of behind the scenes stuff. Again, like this is an animated movie. So I found this again very interesting, is they actually took a week long trip. sorry. Good Lord. Like they actually took a trip to Norway to study the land. Which again, for, you know, an animated film to actually go there for an entire week to do research on it. I think that shows the commitment that, you know, they want, you know, they wanted to make a worthy sequel, to the first one, and that they were really invested in it. You know, they got the entire original voice cast to come back, which sometimes, you know, can be rare. You have changes, or you see these movies where the first one starts off and then the sequel is, you know, new voice casting and it feels like a completely different movie. So, you know, I think just the dedication from the entire team to want to come back and, you know, make something that the fans would like and something they were proud of. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is way cool. I think that's, in my research of just DreamWorks film, I think that that's something that studio must do, because they did something similar with the Kung Fu Panda films, particularly the second one. I don't know. Maybe the first one does really well, and then they're like, hey, let's reward our cast and crew and go to this amazing place and have it input into our film. I don't know, but that is sweet. No wonder the film has some great locations.
I think in terms of like just little details and things like that that really stood out to me, there were really two. And one was from an animation perspective. When Toothless is stuck in the water and he can't reach Hiccup, in the way that he, you know, he's kind of crawling out of the ice and he's, you know, trying not to drown. The way that that whole scene is animated it's incredible. It's just absolutely heartbreaking. The expressions that they're able to create on his face and the way that he's communicating with his eyes and his expression, the just ferocity that he is trying to get out of the water to reach his friend. That scene, I think, is one of the best in terms of animation of this film. Yeah, I mean, Harrison, you mentioned it earlier. Some of the things they do with hair, they've got snow in the hair, they've got ice in it, they've got all kinds of different, you know, different colors. They have different braids. There's all kinds of just character details that make this world feel lived in, that make this world feel real, and not just Xerox copies. That was one that really stood out to me that I thought was particularly done well from an animation perspective. The other one that really jumped out to me, the individual design choices around each Viking's dragon. So now that everybody has dragons, like, I even love the fact that they've got this old lady that's like the crazy cat lady of Vikings. We've got 17 mini dragons, like, you know, like she's the crazy dragon lady. I loved that choice, by the way. But when you look at like the dragon that Stoic chooses and the dragon that Gobber chooses, it matches their personality so well. I loved those choices. I also really jumped out to me the way that even their gear is, the saddles they use to mount the dragon and ride them, so well designed. I think they did a fantastic job of matching each of those things to the characters. I think it was really well done.
I completely agree. Yeah. As far as I get quickly just talk about like a design thing that I love as well, is just that the way that, I forget her name, the mom's name, whatever her name is, the way that she is just designed, Kate Blanchett also just does a great job with the voice, but particularly that scene where she's like dancing around the dragons, like just what a great scene for your character.
Yes.
She's lived with dragons for what, 20 years? Clearly she knows their way around them. And it shows like a majesty four dragons that the first film didn't have, which that it didn't need, but it like shows dragons in a new way, not a new way, but it expands what it shows about dragons. And I just really like that scene. I think that it was probably really hard to animate, I would guess, because there's so much happening in that scene, particularly with like physics and wings. And I don't know, it like blows my mind that people could design that, but I love that scene. Yeah. Any other binge points here?
I have one more, because again, like, I think it's just, it's fascinating. And the reason why this looks, you know, like the, it looks better. DreamWorks, from the first one to the second one, they use what was called a scalable, and I actually, breaking news, I took a note.
what?
Yeah. Yeah. So they used what is called at the time a scalable multi-core processing, which was developed by Hewlett-Packard, and it actually enabled them to work on the images in real time, where in the first one they had to wait 8 hours to see what the results were.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That is amazing. I was quickly reading through some of the trivia, and where did it go? It was saying that this was the first DreamWorks film to use their new software through the entire production. And it doesn't really reveal what it is, but that must be what it is, because that would be amazing. That is so cool. Wow, technology blows my mind.
So yeah, think about that, like, just from a scene to scene basis, you're going through and like, okay, we're going to animate this character here, this person's doing this, you know, lock of hair is doing this, and then like, all right, well, we'll come back to the office tomorrow and we'll see how this turned out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can imagine coming back and all of a sudden it just being like, well, none of that worked. Let's get back to work and put that in, and let's wait another 8 hours. So, you know, the fact that they're able to do it in real time with this movie compared to the first one, I think is why there was such an uptick in the animation.
Yeah. And I feel like it was something that the bench point I expressed at the beginning was the emotions. I feel like maybe they had the freedom to animate more. I just quickly did some Googling based on what you said, and this is what the director said. Shoot, where did it go? He said, in the past, if you wanted to do something as simple as arch an eyebrow, you would have to select the eyebrow from a menu and input what degree of arc you want, enter the numerical amount, and wait for that to render. Whereas the new system is much more intuitive, using a stylus and touch sensitivity, where it's actually more like drawing, where they could just manipulate each thing in real time, which, I mean, like, to just think about the first film, you know, let's, you know, like all the math needed to just animate an eyebrow, like, oh my gosh. So that's cool. I didn't know that. Yeah. Any others at all? Okay. The last one that I just have is for the voice actor. I'm going to mispronounce his name for, Drago, Jimon Hansoon. I always mispronounce his first name. He's fantastic, but he has a lot of like preparation that he does for his voice acting. And one of those was this yell or this scream. And the director heard it when they were doing the voice recording, and he liked it so much that he added it to the character of Drago to control the big, like to summon the dragons, which I thought was sweet. I love things like that. Also, just other random detail, Hiccup's left-handed, which I think is really cool. The other thing that I'll add is that I love his map. Like, I don't know. What a cool thing for like a character to just have some, like, what am I trying to say? Some like passion that's very reasonable and realistic. Like, of course, if you had a dragon, you would want to go explore. And I just feel like it's good characterization. Like the first film. The first film, they didn't spend 20 years talking about how Hiccup's so good at building things. Like, it was just part of who he was. They don't spend 20 years talking about how Hiccup's super explorative. It's just part of who he is. And I think. Good characterization. Well, there's no other bench points, so let's move on to the next segment, lease and likes. This is what we're talking about, our least favorite scene and our favorite scene. And Rob, I'll let you go first with your least favorite.
So I've already kind of talked a little bit about some where it kind of falls apart for me. I want to get a little more specific later on. It's kind of the big climactic battle. And, you know, Toothless is kind of zombified. The evil Alpha has him under control. And there's some things that just absolutely make no sense at all whatsoever. So he's on a different dragon, and he's getting close enough to sort of reach out and pet Toothless. The whole time, Drago, who has a spear, he's holding a spear, and he lets him do it. He just, no, go ahead. You can pet your dragon. By all means, go ahead. I'm not going to stab you. No, by all means, go right at. You can pet him. pat him on the head. Like, it's just defies logic. It makes no sense at all. And it just jumps right off the screen to me and bothers me. And then it just lets him break this mind control. Totally lame. And he just twiddles his thumb because he only has one. He's, you know, the other one's, you know, fake. So he twiddles his thumb the whole time and just lets it happen. And then right after that, Hiccup puts this blindfold on him. But at no point do we believe that the mind control is based on like hypnosis or anything like that, you know, or it's visual. Like, he puts the blindfold on for no reason at all. And it seems like it's more like mind control than hypnosis. Like, none of that was ever really defined. So, though, you know, that last scene, I mean, it's the climax of your movie. I mean, you want to get all these details right. You don't want anybody to be distracted or pulled out of the movie when this is the big climax. So to me, you know, just those two details actually made that last bit my least favorite scene.
Okay. Fair enough. Very reasonable. That's one thing that never mind. My brain just died. I don't remember what I was going to say. Go ahead.
The other thing that I do want to add really quick about what I dislike about that scene, this movie doesn't follow its own rules for Toothless being able to fly on his own or not, because they establish earlier that he can't really fly on his own. He needs Hiccup with the, you know, his prosthetic leg in the gear shift to sort of change the position of the tail wing. But they don't ever really follow those rules. Like, he can fly on his own when they need him to. And then when the movie doesn't need him to, or needs him to falter or be a little bit vulnerable, then all of a sudden he can't fly. Like, there's definitely some of that in that last scene too. And it's a little bit scene breaking for me. So that's why I'm picking that as my least favorite.
Very reasonable. It was a note that I had written down that I thought it was a great way to kind of necessarily nerf Toothless to like not making him unstoppable. Like, when your hero just is like overpowered, it is kind of uninteresting. And I think in the film, I was like, man, that is so great to make him have a vulnerability. And then later the film didn't follow it. So then I wasn't going to mention it, but here I am anyway. So, Matt, what's your least favorite scene?
All right. So I would like to say that it's not a least favorite scene, but it is hopefully. Again, I make this clear. It is what my biggest problem with the movie is as to why it's not as good as the first one. So because it's basically revolves around the main villain of the movie. What I liked about the first one is they didn't truly establish that you had to be a villain in the first movie. I thought there was a lot of areas in that movie where it was just, you know, sometimes the most compelling person is somebody who you're like, well, I'm not supposed to agree with this guy or like anything he says, but I do. Mainly Thanos in Avengers. And he wants to wipe out half the world. For some reason, though, I don't know if
some days I'm like, you're right. You got a point. You got a point.
I don't know if it's that cheese grater chin or what it is, but part of me just is like, all right, you're not so bad. It's the fact that the villain in this movie could have been played like could have done anything else. And if you break down this movie, the way that they set up the villain, it literally should have been the mother. Based on what this villain does and how, like, go back and watch this movie and the villain should have been the mother. Plain and simple. And that's what I don't like is it seems like they made a villain in this movie simply for the fact of making a villain.
Yeah. I was reading that it was actually originally planned for the mother to be the villain, but they ended up changing it, later on. I didn't give a reason why, but yeah, I think that would make a really, really interesting character in the ways that we talked about how that character was weak. And I think that would be a huge challenge for Hiccup in a good way.
Right. Exactly.
Makes a lot of things much more compelling if they would have made that choice instead.
Yeah. I think that this film is more of a challenge for Toothless than it is for Hiccup.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like changing the villain would have made it more of a challenge for Hiccup. So yeah. My least favorite scene is literally the dumbest thing ever, but it bothered me a significant amount. when Drago shows up at their ice castle and they like run out and they see just this gigantic army, and the mother goes to do something, and Stoke's like, you know, what do you want us to do? And she's like, we protect the dragons. And then they proceed to then send the dragons into death and traps. It was like, why didn't you just fly the other way? Like, you're in the middle of the ocean. There is 360 degrees that you could go any direction except that one. Like, I don't know. It just was, I quickly moved on from it. Like I said, I enjoyed that fight scene. I thought the camera work was great. It leads to a really great emotional moment. I love everything that Stoic does in that entire last sequence. But just for that one moment, it's like, we protect the dragons. And it was like, well, you're doing a pretty horrible job.
You should try a little bit at that.
Right. So yeah, that's my least favorite. But we'll just go in the same order with our favorite scene. So Rob, what's your favorite?
You know, I wanted to pick one of the aerial battles. We had talked earlier in the episode about how good those were. I mean, they really feel like full on, like, fighter pilot battles, you know, fully fledged aerial battles. You know, it could be, you know, X-Wings versus TIE fighters. I mean, they were really good in a lot of cases. But the end of the funeral for Stoic is kind of where I want to go. When Hiccup realized, you know, it's one of my complaints about the first movie was, if you break it down to its barest components, if you strip away all the details and just talk about it in the most generic term possible, it's not a plot we haven't seen before. And that's my biggest critique about the first one. The second one kind of starts in that way. It's that same story of a father or a mother trying to pass on a legacy to the child who wants something different. They don't want to be in charge. They want to make art, or they want to dance, or they want to do any number of 700 other things that isn't being in charge or running the family business. We've seen this in particularly children's films and children's TV shows. We've seen this 842 million times. But I think where this movie really does kind of get you is when Hiccup realizes, you know, he's not going to ever replace Stoic, because Stoic was Stoic. He needs to be himself. He can do things that Stoic never could. And he comes to the understanding. He has respect for his father and what his father accomplished, and wants to achieve the same things, but has a different way that he's going to do it. And it was really an emotional scene. I thought it was incredibly effective. There's some very, very emotional moments in this film that if you don't feel yourself kind of, you know, having your eyes water up a little bit, I question who you are as a person. You know, there's some moments in this film that got to me a bit, in ways that I guess I wasn't prepared for on a random Thursday evening, you know, just to all of a sudden have it hit me like that. Like, whoa, crap, where did that come from? You know, those moments are, I think, where this film really does shine, and where this series shines. Are those moments that last and that stick with you.
Yeah, well said. To just add on it, when what you were saying, I love when, actually, never mind. We'll save that for Fallen, actually. Ooh. So
there's a lot of Fallen, I'm sure.
Yes. So Matt, what's your favorite?
I have to agree with Rob. I really do like that scene. I like the fact that, you know, there is something very familiar about the kid who, oh, well, I'm never going to be you. And then the realization that, oh, I don't have to be you. I have to be me. But I feel like this movie portrays that epiphany, I'll call it, much better than what we're typically used to. Like Rob said, you know, this is a kid who respects his father still and, you know, honors his father, but also realizes if I try to be you, I'm going to fail. I need to do what I think is right, but still it's, you know, in no way, shape, or form is he trying to disrespect what his father did before him. I think it's a very natural way that it happens, a very relatable way that it happens. And it I do think there's a lot of emotion behind it. I really do like that scene a lot. Because I think the writers get it. I don't think they kind of insult you in any way. I think they make you, you know, really think about, okay, I think you can sit there and look at that scene and say, okay, what would I think in that situation? Where am I? How do I feel that I would want to, you know, honor this person that meant a lot to me? And what would I do going forward? So I like that a lot.
Yeah, well, you guys are saying it all. That is also my favorite scene. Really obvious reasons why. I want to talk about why and Fall In, so we're about to move there. I'll kind of save my thoughts about why it's my favorite for that. I just briefly want to mention that kind of an honorable mention is the opening flying scene between Hiccup and Toothless. I think that's some of the best visuals. I think the animation is incredible. Again, Roger Deakins consulted visually, and it shows. So, again, I agree with you guys that the funeral for Stoic is my favorite scene. And there's one other thing that I just want to point out that I love is that Stoic shoots an arrow on his own, not with his mother. I felt like that was a good thing. This is Stoic's moment. Yes, everyone is mourning the loss of this individual, but the mother was gone for 20 years. Stoic was there for 20 years. This is his moment. And then I also love that she wasn't emphasized in a different way. She was in line with Astrid and Fish Legs and everybody else, because I don't know. There's just something about that I really, like you just said, Matt, the writers understood what that moment was for the characters that they had written, but also emotionally for the audience, and they balanced it really well. So with that, let's just move into Fall In and talk about the themes or messages, which we're already getting into, which I've been looking forward to. So I'm going to kind of start off and just kind of close out why I think why that's my favorite scene. Is it one that what I almost said when Rob shared that it was his favorite scene is that Hiccup talks about how he didn't want to be his dad because he was afraid he couldn't. And I feel like that's fresh ground for this role that we get where, oh, the character doesn't want to do what his parents want him to do. And there's almost like a little bit of resentment towards his parents, where here from the get-go of the film, I felt like it was a little bit of like, he understood the weight of it. He understood the responsibility of it. And that's why he was hesitant. That's why he ran away, because he was nervous. He didn't want to disappoint his father. But then also at the end, recognizing, well, I don't have to be my dad, but there's also part of my dad that is definitely who I am. I like how at the end he realizes he's the combination of Stoic and his mother. I don't know her name for whatever reason. It starts with a V. I know that. Oh, thank you, Valka. He recognizes these a combination of the two of them and how that will be a blessing in his leadership. I also like that right before that, what happens with obviously the death of Stoic and how Toothless is responsible for it. I mean, man, what they had the guts to go for that, which I appreciate. But also I love that the Valka, the mother, says, good dragons under rule of bad people do bad things or something like that. And I think that that is another moment where Hiccup realizes that he needs to be a good leader, because good people under good leaders do good things. And that a leader can make or break something, even if you have good people. And I just feel like that entire moment makes up Hiccup's decision to be the chieftain. I haven't seen the third film, and so I imagine going on as well in the type of chief he will be. And I it's just a really, really mature theme for accepting the responsibility of, you know, whatever responsibility falls on your shoulders as it's passed down. And it's a really, really mature scene and handled so well.
In the first film, there's so much of that father-son relationship, and we talked about it in the last episode. And I think you see that continuation here, particularly when a son has to deal with his father being gone, and now that legacy does kind of pass in some way. And you don't have to have a dad who's chieftain of a clan to sometimes have that pressure on you, or feel like you have to live up in some way to what those accomplishments are. It's a very unique balance, and I like a lot of what that looked like here. I think one of the other really interesting themes, and I don't know if this is intentional or not, but the beginning of this movie, when we first introduced the concept of Drago, this villain that we don't really meet till almost two thirds of the way into the movie, Hiccup's convinced that he's going to talk it out. He's going to talk it out. He's going to use his words, and he's going to convince him that, you know, he doesn't have to do whatever he's going to do. Peace is great and all, but some people just suck. Like, that's how's that for Fallen? Some people just suck. And you can be nice. You can do what you got to do. But if you aren't prepared for worst case scenarios as a leader, you're letting your people down. And some of the decisions they make in this movie about, like, the dragon trappers, like, make no sense at all. Some of the decisions they make about Drago, like, it's so optimistic and it's so idealistic and ultimately unrealistic. Sometimes you just got to understand some people just plain suck. And if you don't come to terms with that, you're putting your family, you're putting your people, you're putting yourself at risk.
I think that's something that just, sorry if I interrupted you, Matt, but something that I think is really awesome is that Stoic talks about, like, at the end with the funeral, he says, you know, I'm not as good of a peacekeeper as I thought I was. And I think that there's a little bit of his desire to be the peacekeeper that was a little bit egotistical, you know, like, oh, I changed Stoic's mind. I can change anybody's mind type of thing. And I think that he realized the lesson that the truth in the lesson that Stoic was trying to teach him, that a chief looks after his own, and the balance of those two things. And again, just very, very mature, the realization of all the things that blend up to make Hiccup who he is.
I think, again, going from the first movie to the second movie, what I can appreciate is this movie's mature themes. That are, again, you can, you know, Rob, your kids are young, like you said, you've said in the previous episode. Yep. You can sit down, you can watch this movie, and they can enjoy it, and they could be sad that the dad, you know, dies, but they can also, you know, or they can just have a good time and they can kind of brush right by that, and whatever the case may be, depending on how they are. But you can sit down and, like you just said, you can feel a certain way about, okay, do I relate to Hiccup and how he feels with his dad passing? How do I live up, you know, potential, you know, or was he proud of me, or whatever phrase you want to use, or however you think of it. Like, I'm sure each one of us can sit there and interpret that scene differently, but none of us are wrong. And I appreciate the fact that, again, this is one of those movies where, you know, you can go with your kids and your kids can enjoy it for an entirely different reason. And then you can sit there as an adult and say, again, like, I watch this on my own. Harrison, you watch this on your own.
Yes.
You know, Rob, did you say the kids sat down with you and watched this?
No, this I ended up, I watched it on my own.
Yeah. Like, you know, this is an animated kids movie, I'm doing finger quotes here, that three adults sat down and watched and take adult themes and messages from. And again, I don't always need that, but I appreciate the fact that this movie and this trilogy as a whole has that in the background. I really appreciate that.
I completely agree. It's something that I haven't said this too much, because then it would just be like straight up plagiarism. This other great podcast that I love that originally inspired the idea for an animation season, on her podcast, she does something similar. And she always mentions in her season how her mission of her podcast and animation season is to point out that two things. One, animation isn't a genre. And two, it's not just for kids. And I feel like that you just like said those exact same things, but you know, in your own words type of thing. And it's something that I was not expecting. Like, how can I say this the right way? Fallen is a segment that I really, really enjoy. It's probably the most rewarding segment of the podcast for me. And it's something that I'm always worried to do with guests, even though I've done podcasts with you before, and I know the type of conversations the three of us have had together. I'm always like worried, like, oh no, is this going to go as good as I want it to? I hope to, you know, not that I'm like trying to control it, but you know, anyway, and it's something that I love that this is rewarding, that this is a conversation that is rewarding. And it's just, you know, who knew this would be happening on a Thursday night, like Rob said. So, that one other thing, it's kind of just changed notes here really, really quickly. One other theme or message that I really loved is the bond between Hiccup and Toothless and their continual reliance on other, but particularly at the end when Toothless challenges the Alpha. Like, how dumb would it just to be that, like, oh, something happened and he like randomly unlocked this power to challenge the Alpha? But when Hiccup's like, oh, he's challenging the Alpha, Valka runs up to him and says, to protect you. Like, his motivation in that moment, his power in that moment, all comes out of a protection and love for Hiccup. You know, everyone's heard those stories of, like, there was a mom who, like, through adrenaline lifted a car because her child was underneath it. Like, that is a very, very real power. And I really love that. I mean, on top of that, Toothless just looks sweet. Like, what a cool design in that moment with the blue light everywhere. And I think that, like, if I were a parent, and I don't have kids yet, and I were watching this movie with my kids, that is one thing that I would want them to remember, that when you have a bond to someone, there's powerful things you can do in that bond. Like, that is a very, very worthwhile thing to remember and to be shown. So yeah, anything else that either of you wanted to mention?
I'll just a real quick piggyback off of that. I do love that bond between Hiccup and Toothless. And again, it just feels, you know, it feels so natural. And again, respect to the writers. It's not just everything is smooth with these two. You know, you can have friends and you don't agree, you know, you don't agree all the time. You don't see eye to eye 100% of the time, and things happen. You know,
sometimes one of your friends actually likes The Last Jedi, like crazy, right?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sometimes one of your friends will betray you in ways that are unspeakable, unfathomable, blasphemous.
Exactly. Those crazy things happen. I've read about them. I wouldn't know anybody that would dare do that, but, you know, those things, they do happen. And again, this movie doesn't shy away from those things, even though it's supposed to be a kid's movie. So again, I just appreciate the fact that, yes, you know, they go from these, you know, this person is not supposed to, these two people, well, I'll just call them people, are not supposed to be together. They're not supposed to like each other. They're not supposed to get along. They're not supposed to form a bond, but they do. That bond is tested. But again, like, sometimes, you know, you have to know when you're supposed to fight for it. I just appreciate the fact that they don't take the easy way out with things in this series.
Yes. Very, very well said. Just one other note that I'll add to that scene as well is that as powerful as that moment is, as Matt was just describing, it's not something that like seriously alters their relationship either. Like, as was just witnessed here on the podcast, like we're having a serious and mature conversation, and then Rob makes a joke. Like, it, and like, just because we're talking about mature things doesn't mean that we don't joke anymore, type of thing. And I love that literally right after Toothless uses this incredible power to burst open the ice and roar at the Alpha, he turns around with a huge smile with his big white eyes at Hiccup and like smiles at him in the same look we get throughout the entire film, and then goes right back to being really protective. Like, it shows a genuine relationship, and it's just great. Like you said, Matt, I love it. All right, so now that we've had a great riveting conversation, let's get to the last, very, very last thing, which is to reveal Iran. And to, you know, full disclosure, we completely forgot. We were having a totally different conversation for a few minutes. And then luckily Rob reminded us. So yeah, sound might, the recording might sound a little bit weird. Anyway, so reveal the rotten. What are we trying? Yes, reveal the rotten. My brain totally moved on from the podcast. At the beginning of the show, we all voted that Rob was the rotten, that he was going to be the one who liked it the least. So now we will reveal our rating out of 5 reels, carrying that over from Matt's show. Whoever gives it the lowest rating is the Rotten. We'll have Rob go last since we all voted for him, including himself. So I will go first. I'm going to put this at a solid 4. The last one I had at a 4.5. I'm going to give this a 4 just because I think that there's a lot of things that it does really, 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 really well. And there's just a few things that bother me a little bit, but I would have no problem watching this again. And as you just heard, we had a great conversation about it. The animation is great. Voice cast is great. Visually impressive. I love the music. Didn't talk about that enough. This episode has great messages and themes. There's just a few moments where it stumbles a little bit. So solid 4. But Matt, you looked at me like you're going to give it a 4 as well.
Yeah. So I want to be clear to whoever is listening to this episode. We did not plan this. I also am giving this a 4 for the exact same reason. This is still really good. The stuff that works really well, I do think outweighs the stuff that doesn't work. But there's, the fact of the matter is there is stuff that works and doesn't work in this one, where really the first one, you really were like fine tooth combing to try and find a way for me not to give it 5 reels. And I gave it 4.5, but this is a 4 reel for me. And I can't remember really, the last one we all said 4.5. So far, you and I have said 4. We're usually not this dead on with each other.
Oh no.
Like we have been with this.
Normally we're each one or a half away from each other in either direction. So it's weird. And well, let's see. Yeah.
And here comes Rob with his 2.
To ruin everything.
Yeah. There's things I really enjoy. There's things that once this movie starts to kind of fall apart for me, and it's about 2/3, it's basically the line you can draw is when once the mom shows up, that's where a series of things kind of start to fall apart for me. I went back and forth on what I wanted to do. It's 3.25 reels for me. It does make me the Rotten. I would rather watch this movie than a lot of other animated movies. There's a lot of stuff my kids watch that I'd leave the room when they have it on. This would not be one of them. As much as I have some problems with some of the things, this is not a movie that if they want to watch it, that I'm like, nope, daddy's peacing out. Or, I'm going to do one of those famous dad napping on the couch during a family movie night kind of thing. Like, which, by the way, if you've never caught a movie nap before, when you're watching stuff with your family, you don't know what you're missing. They're excellent. This is not one that I fall asleep during. I actually do enjoy it, but it's 3.25.
I was guessing you were getting from the beginning of the episode. I thought you were going to give it 3.5. So I was close.
All right.
I tell you, sometimes I wake up to take a nap. They're fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, my wife is the same way. She has this. I wish I had it. I accidentally deleted it from my phone. This like quote she has on her phone that says, sometimes I just get in bed because it's my favorite place to be and not really to sleep, but just because I'm in bed and I'm happy because I'm in bed. Like she is one of the hardest working people I've ever met. She teaches group fitness classes at the gym. Like she works out twice a day, almost every day. But when she gets home, it's like straight to bed. Anyway, Rand, I don't know what that had to do with anything, but now we can actually conclude the episode. Thank you again. We'll end it there for the actual conclusion. So if there's nothing else to mention, we'll kind of close out here. What a great episode. Yeah, like I said, I'm always a little bit apprehensive, like, oh no, is Fallen just going to be a total train wreck where like no one has anything to say? And then it's always rewarding to see the things that I have to say, but also to listen to the things other people have to say. So thank you both of you for joining. Thank you for everybody who has been listening to these episodes. Again, there's a chance for you to win any of these movies, including this one. Or any of the others that happened during the animation Hall of Fave 2, you can simply leave a review on podchaser.com/thebasementbench. Additionally, go subscribe to Matt Goes to the Movies because very, very soon there was going to be a great group of episodes that you're not going to want to miss, where we're going to somehow manage to go through the 100 top 100 video games. I have been procrastinating making a list. We're recording in like, what, 2 days? I've procrastinated this list so much, but it is an episode that I'm genuinely looking forward to so much. So if you haven't already checked out Matt Goes to the Movies, well, one, shame on you. Go check out Matt Goes to the Movies. But definitely be ready for that episode because it's going to be great. So anything else that either of you would like to add about Matt Goes to the Movies?
Submit your lists. All the different social media channels that you can find Matt Goes to the Movies on, please, by all means, submit your lists or even your favorite series. Even if you like, if you're not somebody who can rank the Final Fantasy games or Legend of Zelda, I mean, man, what a crazy string of ups and downs that you get with those series. Even just favorite series, send us your thoughts. What's your favorite system of all time? You know, which one do you think consistently had the best? What were the best memories you had? What were your first memories of gaming? All of these things we'd love to hear from listeners as we do the show. You can find the show on LinkedIn. Jeez, that's probably the only one it's not on. You can find it. That would be kind of fun though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You can find it on all of them. And you can certainly find it at mgttmpodcast@gmail.com. You can email your thoughts in that way.
Yeah, I do want to add one thing to that, and that's if you're listening to the Basement Binge, Harrison, I certainly don't want to speak for you, or you come over and you're listening to Matt Goes to the Movies, whether it's an episode I've done by myself with Rob, or me, Rob, and Harrison, or me and Harrison, and when we talk about email the show, go on social media, leave a comment, if you're the person that's like, oh, I'm not going to do that because they won't, like, they're not going to answer, or like, no, like, be the person that does. We've had a lot of great interactions. At least I know I have, based on people, responding. Rob, I can think of, in Harrison, when we did Star Wars, there were a lot of comments on the Facebook page, with people who, you know, disagreed with, you know, some of the rankings, where the prequels, you know, based on the age, you know, the age group that you grew up in, the prequels are your movies, where the original trilogy. But it's always fun. Like, none of us are here to sit here and say, oh, well, because you like this movie, you're wrong. I'm always curious as to why somebody, you know, like, particularly maybe I don't like something. So if you're the person that's like hesitant, like, oh, I'd like to reach out to the show, or I'd like to leave a comment, but I'm not going to because, oh, they're not going to they wouldn't respond, or like, no, like, leave that comment. The whole reason the three of us are here is because I decided to respond to a comment from Harrison. Like, Harrison reached out when I first started the show, if I remember exactly. And I was like, I literally had the thought of, oh, like, oh, that was really cool, but like, maybe I won't respond. And I was like, no, like, hey, like, yeah, thanks a lot, man. Like, what's going on? And over a year and a half later, the three of us are here, and we've mentioned this many times, but the three of us text each other about everyday life, or see what's going on. So like, we developed a friendship because of, oh yeah, hey, thanks for reaching out. That was really, you know, that was really nice of you. Maybe we can collaborate on something in the future. And here we are.
Yeah, very, very true. I was just going to add that there are a few things that bring me more excitement than seeing someone has messaged me or emailed me or interacted in some way with the Basement Binge, where I can then interact back and like start a conversation. Because when, as you, the two of you know, when you record an episode, like, you talk into a microphone and then just like send it out to whoever, and there's not a lot of feedback that comes back and forth. And so being able to have an exchange with people is something that excites me the most when it happens. So I co-sign everything that was just shared, because I completely agree.
Just to tack one more thing on, there is a ton of work that goes on behind the scenes to produce these episodes. You know, just, you know, managing the social media feeds, choosing the episodes, rewatching feature length films like multiple times a week is an incredible investment of time. Harrison scripts out a lot of his episodes. You know, I when I'm hosting with my brother, you know, I do a lot of writing. Matt just turns his computer on and talks because he has no notes at all whatsoever.
Because he's a cyborg.
He is. But you know, running the social media, posting on social media, posting, you know, adding in post-production, there's actually a lot of hours. You know, this show is going to end up being right around an hour and a half or so by the time it streams into your earballs. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into before the episode records, actually recording the episode, and then once it's done, there's still a lot of work left to do. And I know, and I'll just go ahead and speak for all three of us, we are happy to do that. You know, we are very happy to bring this to you. Something really easy that you can do to say that you like something or dislike something or agree or disagree is go to Podchaser, leave a review. Costs you nothing, absolutely nothing. Maybe, possibly 30 seconds of your time is all it costs you to give a little bit of feedback to content creators that put a lot of time in to bring you episodes like this, which again, are a blast to do, totally a lot of fun. But if you've enjoyed this episode, any episode you've heard on either The Basement Binge or Matt Goes to the Movies, it costs you absolutely nothing at all to leave a like on an episode that gets posted, leave a comment, or leave a review on Podchaser or any of the many places you can download podcasts and rate and review them.
Yeah, thank you. Rob, you have a way of saying that I just could never. I agree. Yeah, it really is something that I love to do, but it helps out the show a ton. Additionally, when producing content, I want to produce content that is enjoyed by the people that are listening. So reviews help me know, hey, people didn't like that. People did like this. So yeah, it helps more than I could express, but Rob adequately did. So thank you. Thank you again, both of you, for joining. I know it's very, very late for you. And Matt, I'll let you get back to your hot chocolate and Lucky Charms marshmallows. Yeah, actually, how did I not mention this entire episode? Right before we started, Matt gets delivered to his desk a cup of hot chocolate with Lucky Charms marshmallows in it. Like, one, that's just great that it was delivered. But two, why have I never thought of that?
Yeah, I'm over here living my best life.
you need to get yourself some Basement Binge groupies to take care of that stuff for you.
So I'm very, very curious though. Was that like something that you came up with, or did Jen come up with it?
So actually I was grocery shopping at Tops. A side end cap said 2 for $4, and you know, 8 boxes later, I'm still going strong.
That's great.
That's what happens when you give a child adult money.
Yes, yes. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. I mean, these guys can see it. Listeners, you can't because it's just audio. But yeah, I don't spend my money on adult things. Like, they're looking at a whole bookshelf of toys in the background of what you know, when we're talking. Yeah, adult money is, you know, if there was a Toys R Us still in my area, I'd be there at least 3 times a week.
So, oh yeah. Matt is an adult only in the legal sense.
Yeah.
In fact, when you leave a review, mention how tasty your hot chocolate and Lucky Charm marshmallows are, because I know what I'm going to be trying of it.
There it is.
So, give it a shot if you have not.
Yes. Yes. So again, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Matt and Rob. I can never say enough. I'm looking forward to recording this video game ranking for Matt's show and then finishing out this trilogy here. This is going to be a lot of fun. So great episodes coming here at the Basement Binge. Also, Matt Goes to the Movies. But thank you again, everybody, for listening. Thanks for enjoying animation season. If you didn't know, if I hadn't said it enough, this is Animation Hall of Fave Volume 2 here at the Basement Binge. And that's all for now. Ciao, ciao.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.